All right. Thank you. Thank you, folks. My soul. Don't that sit you up in heavenly places? I mean, oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. I appreciate all the ones that put on the specials for us today, this morning, tonight. All of it's been good. Brother Cruz has tried to choose the music that would go along with the mission conference, and I appreciate that kind of effort and forethought. And it's just been good. It's been a blessing. Amen. Well, we appreciate Helps Ministries. They do such a good job, and it's a unique ministry. I really don't know hardly anybody else that's doing the same thing. There's a lot of good mission works out there, but Helps Ministries is under the local church in the right sense of the word, and men that are serving, driving missionaries around, going to the field and everything, are good independent Baptist local church people, and they're on the same page with me, and I like that. Amen. And I appreciate Brother Scotty Drake. We go back a long ways, and time won't allow us to tell on each other, but we appreciate the calling he has of the Lord to, and the burden that he has for missions, and doing a great job. And you pray for him. He makes all these trips. I don't see how he does it, and all the hours in the airplane and all the rest of it. Tonight I'm going to ask Brother Scotty if he would, and of course he's one of our members here, and you know him well, but sometimes it's easy to take folks for granted just because we see them every now and then and know them well. Let's not do that. Let's pray for Brother Scotty, because he's carrying on a big work too. I was looking to see Brother Chow McMillan somewhere. Raise your hand back there. All right, he'd still raise his hand, so he's still a young man. Amen. Brother Chow, I didn't say the same thing about him I just said about Brother Scotty, and they keep on going. And we appreciate him being with us tonight also. Brother Scotty, come on and introduce our preacher tonight.
All right. Before we have Brother Gaines Hanif come from Suriname, let me just say this. I can say that about Pastor Carter. I go to places all over the place, and people know him, and they say, "How's he doing? How's his health doing?" I said, "Man, he's preaching up a storm." Brother Pastor, every time I think about you, I think about that time you were preaching on the Sea of Galilee, and we went down and led our guide to Christ while he was preaching on the Sea of Galilee. I'll never forget it. And now that fellow's taking radiation for liver cancer, and Zeb. But you remember him. He was a tough old boy, tough guy, and we praise God. But let me just say this before he comes. Listen, God's not through with you, or you wouldn't be breathing. Every person here, I want you to know God's still got something for you to do. And you're either going to the mission field, or you're sending somebody to the mission field to get the gospel to a lost and dying world. I was thinking about Brother Chim. Brother Chim, he got to the place where he said, "I'm going to raise money for Bibles." And all of those quarters, and well over, how much now, Brother Chim? $1,600,000 he's raised for Bibles. People like you giving quarters and this, that, and the other. I was thinking this morning, we send out 500 checks every month. But when it gets through dribbling down to all these people that have started churches and they're helping them, and we've got now people that are going to the mission field from other countries, it's somewhere, I'd say 3,500 to 4,000 people that you affect. And I was watching these slides up here, and I got to look and I got to thinking, I wonder how many churches have been started by all of these different people. And this is your mission money at work. And like the pastor said, when you get to heaven, you can't take anything with you. If you're going to have a mansion, you got to send the money to buy it ahead. You can't take it with you. But listen, thank you, Landmark Baptist Church. And I want you to know I count it a real privilege to be a member here and have Brother Carter be my pastor, and Brother Steve coming along. And I just pray every time, all the time, Pastor, I think about Brother Hancock and all these great men that you and I sat under and preached with the power of God on them. And I pray all the time, dear Lord, please raise up some young men that has the power of God on their life, because that's what it's going to take to do something for America. But God bless you so much. And it has been fun. We have had a good meeting. It's been a sweet spirit. And I thank God for it. Brother Hanif, I want you to come. Please, sir, your path. and want you to just preach to us, okay?
Amen.
All right.
Thank you.
Matthew chapter number 11. Let me take this opportunity to be thankful to God for this church, your prayers and support. Thank Dr. Carter for allowing me to come and share behind his pulpit, and praise God for health ministry, the vision that God has given to Dr. Drake and Chan McMillan and those that are involved to reach the lost for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Matthew chapter number 11. I want to take a verse here, that's verse number 3, and we will preach a message from this verse. In Matthew chapter number 11, the Bible declared to us that they came to Jesus Christ, and this is the question they asked him. They said to him, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Let us pray. Our Father, we come before thee, God, and we ask, Holy Spirit, take control of the preaching of thy word, and that you will bless us through it. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? You will read that Jesus Christ, when Thomas asked him, "How can I know the way?" Jesus replied and said, "I am the way,
Amen.
The truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except through me." Now, to preach that in foreign countries and even some place in the United States is not popular. Because let me again repeat the words of Jesus. He said, "For I am the way,
Amen.
The truth, and the life. No man, let me repeat, no man cometh unto the Father except through me." They came and asked him this question, and they said, "Are you the one, or do we look for another?" Travel and you will realize that you come to Suriname and you see Muslim mosques and cathedrals and Hindu temple all over the place. And I want to praise and thank the God of heaven that you have given, like I said in Sunday school class, and you have sent your sons and your daughters across the foreign field to tell the lost and dying that Jesus Christ is the one.
Amen.
That it is not Muhammad, Ram, Confucius, Buddha, or Gandhi. That Jesus Christ is truly the one. Raised in the mosque. And they said, "Well, he was a good man," like I said in Sunday school class. But they inform us that Muhammad came after him. And they say that Muhammad is the last and final prophet. They told us in the mass that in the Muslim mosque, "Stay away from Christianity. Your name is Muhammad. Your last name is Hanif. You're going to be this next leader in the mosque." But praise be unto God that American missionary came to tell the people of Suriname that Muhammad is not the one. Ram is not the one. Neither is Gandhi, Confucius, or Buddha, but Jesus Christ is the one. Tonight, in front of you, in this church, this great church, you witness one that is saved by grace, named Muhammad, with a last name Hanif, which means a faithful servant of Allah. Now, for the past 28 years, a Baptist preacher preaching about that one, that is named Jesus Christ. Are you the one, or do we look for another? The Bible tells us that there was a man that found that one. His name is very popular. We refer to him all the time. His name is David, and David said this. He said, "This is the one that brought me up also out of an horrible pit,
Amen.
Out of the miry clay,
Amen.
And set my foot upon a rock,
Amen.
And established my going." And that's not the end of the story. And David said, listen, and David said, and he put, I like this part here, he put a new song in my mouth.
Amen.
He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. He put a new song in my mouth, beloved. It is not a song to praise Allah anymore. I did that for the past 27 years. But now it is a song to praise and exalt, magnify, and glorify the matchless name of my Savior, Jesus Christ, who has become my one. my only one, Jesus Christ. Are you the one? Are you the one? They ask him. I hope and pray that you have found that one. Because Job found that one also. And Job said, I know something. It's a wonderful thing when you can know something. I'm not hoping for it. I'm not have to think about it. I know that my Redeemer is alive. Job found that Redeemer. And he said, I know that my Redeemer is alive. And because he's alive, Job said, the worm shall destroy this body. Yet in my flesh, I shall see my Redeemer. We have reason to rejoice and be glad. We have reason to shout and sing praises. Because even death has no victory over us, because we believe in that one. I want to tell you about another man who found that one. You remember the Apostle Paul? He stood in front of Agrippa, King Agrippa, and he explained to Agrippa how he persecuted the Christians. He explained to Agrippa how he will take chains and imprison them. He explained to Agrippa his kind of persecution will cause them to even denounce Jesus Christ. But he said, Agrippa, I was on that road to Damascus. And at midday, I love it. And at midday, something happened, King Agrippa. I was blinded by a light. I fell in the dust. I love it. I fell in the dust. And from the dust, he heard a voice. The voice of Jesus saying to him, that is the one he found. And you know the rest of the story. And we can go on and talk about Joseph, who find himself all because of a colt in a pit. And from the pit, he must have cried out to this one. And then this one brought him out and took him in certain journey and then used him in such a mighty, mighty, mighty way. This is the one I'm talking about. They asked him this question. They said, Dr. Cham, are you the one or do we look for another? Well, let the Bible, you have a Bible in your hand, son? Let the Bible answer the question. And that's what we're going to do. We are going to take the Bible and let the Word of God speak for itself and prove to you from the Word of God that he is the one. Was the one, is the one, and will always be the one. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The Bible answer it like this. The Bible said this in the book of John chapter number 1. We're reading in verse number 1. Verse number 2 and verse number 3. The Bible tells us that John wrote and said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. The Word was not a God, but the Word was God. And John said the same was in the beginning with God, and all things was made by him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, but the darkness comprehended not. Isn't that something? And then John said in verse number 14, listen carefully. John said, and the Word became fleshed and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Bible tells us about that Word. The Bible tells us that Matthew had to join in and say, well, it's Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. And then we read that Isaiah the prophet tells us about that Word. Isaiah said, listen, a virgin shall conceive, and this virgin shall bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Glory, 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 glory be to God. And then I love when Paul joined in, and Paul said it like this, for God has highly exalted this one. God has not exalted, beloved, but God has what? Highly exalted him. And God has given to him a name that is not equal to, a name that is not below, but a name that is above every other name. Every other name. So at no point of time in your educated life can you take the name of Jesus Christ and compare him with Muhammad, Gandhi, or any religious leader. Because according to the Bible, God's Word declared to us that his name is above every other name. And at the name of Jesus, And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I arrive in your country, the God bless United States of America, and I go to various churches with Pastor Scotty Drake and Dr. Sean McMillan. We'll go, and the first thing, people will shake my hand and say, what do you think about Obama? And then they will shake my hand and say, what do you think about the Obamacare? I don't know. And I don't want to know. Who cares? Huh? Why is it you're so fascinated? This is a Baptist church, man. Get here and praise God. Exalt the name of Jesus Christ. His name is above every other name. Who care about Obama and Obamacare? Tell me something about Jesus Christ. Ask me a question about Jesus Christ. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus' name so sweet. Emmanuel name so sweet. Praise be unto God. I had it with this thing. May God help us that when we gather in this church here, a church like this, a great church like this, that we preach Christ, man.
Amen.
Yeah, we preach Christ. Listen carefully. That is what he said, and that is not the end of the story. The Bible gives us this answer also. The Bible tells us, you know, it's a very good thing for you once in a while to pick it up and read it.
Amen.
Don't you think? Because the Bible gives us the answer. The Bible tells us in Genesis, remember Genesis? Genesis chapter number 1, we're reading this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And God said, listen carefully, and God said, let there be, and there was.
That's right.
Oh, Dr. Carter. And God said, let there be, and there was. And God said, let there be, and there was. And when there's a time for God to create man, he said, let us make man in our own image. And God took the dust from the ground, and he formed man and gave to man the breath of life. I arrived in Apex, North Carolina, and I was late for the service. I pushed the door open, and when I went in, they looked at me and they said, wow, he's brown. And I said, well, we do come in different color, shape, and size. And they said, and he speaks English? And I'm saying, duh. I mean, what? Look around, man. Come on, get a grip. I can't understand this thing. So, but praise God, eh? What a great God we serve. That he said in the Bible, beloved, 9 times you will read in Genesis chapter number 1, that God said, let there be, and there was. And from myself, coming from a Muslim background, I remember once when we were in the mosque, every Muslim mosque, by the way, must build to face Mecca. You must face the mosque to Mecca. I remember once when my dad was sick, he said, son, we have to pray. So my dad took a piece of cloth and he spread it on the mat in our home. And we were supposed to go on that cloth and pray. One day we were praying like this. Another day we were praying like this. And another day we were praying like this. I said, Dad, I'm kind of confused. Because one day you had me facing this way. One day you had me facing that way. And one day you had me facing this way. And we learned in the mosque, Dad, that we have to face Mecca. Dad said, well, listen, son, do you think I really know where Mecca face? I don't know. Here we are in Suriname. You expect me to know where is Mecca? But listen what we're going to do, son. We're going to go every direction. And maybe one time or the other, we will hit Mecca. You know? We are going around and around and around to face Mecca. But listen carefully, beloved. Today, being saved by grace, knowing that one, you can fall on your face, you can go on your knees, any way, any place. And you don't have to worry if you're facing east, west, north, and south.
Yeah.
But you know that he hear and answer prayer.
Amen.
Praise be unto God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. And so, beloved, they asked him this question. Are you the one? Or do we look for another? I love it when the psalmist said it like this. The psalmist said in Psalm 24, the psalmist said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the psalmist said, listen carefully, the psalmist said, and the King of glory shall come in. And he said, and who is this King of glory? Who is this King of glory? And the answer is given back, the Lord strong and mighty. He said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. Listen carefully. He said, and the King of glory shall come in. And then he asks this question, who is the King of glory? And the answer is given from the word of God, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle, is the King of glory. He is not only the King of glory, but he is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the author and the finisher of our faith, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the bright and morning star, the rose of Sharon. And we can go on and on. And when they were crying, the angels wept, because no one was found worthy in Revelation chapter number 5. They were not found worthy to step forward and take the book and open the seal and read thereof. And then all of a sudden, as John was crying, the angel said, don't cry. Don't cry, because one is found worthy. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed, and he has got the power and the authority to step forward, to take the book, open the seal, and read thereof. And John said, and I saw a multitude of people. I cannot number them. They came from every nation, language, tribe, and people. There is coming a day, beloved, when we will not be separated by flags and skin color and border issue and visa issue, but there is coming a day when the redeemed will gather. Yes. We will gather at the throne of the Lamb, whose blood was shed for our sins. And we will join that heavenly choir, and we will sing that new song, the new song of Moses. Dr. Carter was talking about the tribe in Suriname. You sing it like this. You say, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. And the tribes will gather in this little village church. Dr. Scotty Drake was there. Dr. Chan McMillan was there. And they will sing, San can wasi. San can make me come free. Not like Jesus brudu. Doesn't it sound like what can wash away my sins? It does. And you sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. And they sing, me wani waka. Na Jesus baka, mi wani waka, na Jesus baka, mi wani waka, na Jesus baka, no dry moro, no dry moro. And we have tribes all over the world, all over the world, that need to hear about that one. And the Bible tells us, they ask him this question, are you the one, or do we look for another? The questions are so many in the Word of God. We gather and we look very carefully in the book of John chapter number 8, and they asked him this question. They said, well, who makest thou thyself? Who makest thou thyself? They said, well, are you greater than our father Abraham? They chose Abraham, and they were thinking, there is no way he can match Abraham. And they said, are you greater? Listen carefully. Are you greater than our father Abraham? And Jesus, the one, said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it, and he was a little glad. Yeah, he was a little happy. Yeah, read it for yourself. He saw my day, and he was glad. And they said, oh, how can this boy make such a statement? He's not even yet 50 years old. And he said this. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Oh, praise God. That is the name that God gave to Moses when Moses asked God, give me one specific name, that when I go to Israel, I must tell Israel thy name. And God said to Moses, you tell Israel, I am that I am. And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He said, I am the good shepherd, I am the bread, I am the light, I am the door. And then he said these words in John chapter number 11. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Though you were dead, yet shall you live. Do you believe this? And Mary and Martha didn't get it. He said, I am, today, present tense, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, though you are dead, yet shall you live. We hear about Pastor Hancock's wife. I know him. I preach to him. I've known him for a couple of years. And I'm sorry, but I rejoice in the fact that she is in a better place. Amen. I'm rejoicing in the fact that even death has no victory over you and I that are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. No, because Paul said absent from the body. And he said what? Present with the Lord. He said for me to live is Christ, but for me to die is gain. He said for the time of my departure is at hand. I am going to be somewhere else. I have the gift of everlasting life and I cannot die. Listen carefully, look at me. I was shot once. I don't have the time to go in all the details. The only problem I have, the bullet went through and through here. So there is two holes I have here. These two holes are made by 38. What guy had 38? Shot me in my leg and the bullet went through and through. Shot my daughter and missed my wife. But now I'm thinking, being shot, I bled a lot. But here I am, preaching Christ. Amen. You see, you cannot kill me. You may be tempted to do a few things to me, but I have a hedge around me and the gift of everlasting life. Amen. I cannot die. The Muslim cannot kill me. I cannot die. I have the gift of everlasting life. You get it? I cannot die. Amen. So when you come to Suriname, don't ask for Muhammad, Games, or Hanif or anything. Just ask them for the bulletproof monk. They realize, man, we shot him once. We try all kind of stuff to do to this guy, and he's still preaching Christ because he is the one. He is the one. There is no other one. And he said these words. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. You heard it this month. Therefore, my beloved brethren, you and I, that know the one. He said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Praise be unto God, beloved, that he's the one. And that is why we're here in Mission Conference. That is why we go back to our country and we preach on radio, television, in churches, in school, on the street corner, everywhere. Because the Bible tells us, neither is there salvation in any other. Yes. Neither is there salvation in any other. In any other. For there is none. N-O-N-E. There is none, 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 none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. One God and one mediator between God and man, and his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus, 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 Jesus. That is the name that we have to worship. I love it, beloved, when the wise men came. Remember the story? We're into that Christmas time, and the wise man said, where is he? Where is the one that is born King of the Jews? We are here because to worship him. And the Bible tells us when they followed the star and the star came where the young child was. Do you know what the wise men did? You remember the story? You don't read the scripture? You think they were standing? Do you see them standing? No. The Bible tells us they fell on the, you know what is that? On your faces? To the ground. And they worshiped the Christ child. The wise men worshiped the Christ child. David said it like this. David said, oh, come, let us bow down. Come, let us worship. Come, he called upon us. He said, come, let us bow down and let us worship. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. Come and travel like Dr. Scotty Drake and see it happening. I think, Dr. Mickey, we have gotten too smart. We got too many titles, doctors and bishops and archbishops and all this kind of title we have. So that the altar now seems to be a place that we feel that we are too uptown. We are too uptown. We cannot bow down, no. Look at this. $10. I can't bow down here. You see, I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking who is watching. I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about that. Look what they're going to say about me. These wise men, beloved, they were not worried about who is looking. They didn't care about this and that and this and that. The Bible tells us they fell down on their faces and they worshiped the Christ child. And David said, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our God, our maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. And David said these words. He said, hear my cry, O God. Hear my cry, O God. On his face, I can see the man of God crying. He said, hear my cry, O God. Listen to my voice. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, O God. He said, when my heart is overwhelmed, when I don't understand the circumstances of what is happening in my life, when I can't understand the pressure, the financial pressure, or the domestic difficulty, when I don't understand it, O God, when I cannot comprehend all this that is happening here and there, he said, when my heart is overwhelmed, O God, when my heart is over, he said, lead me to the rock, O God. Lead me to this rock that is higher than I. Higher than I. Lead me to the rock, O God. We have a counselor. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. We meet the counselor at the altar. That's where we meet him. We meet the counselor at the altar. Mission conference, and we have a goal. No. I wish if I could preach another hour. But I know Dr. Carter, man. Don't mess with him on time. But what is mission conference, really? What is it? Let me give you an illustration of mission conference. Mission conference. Dr. Scotty, can you come here, please? Dr. Carter, you stay right there. You can sit next to each other. Sit. Yeah. Can we get another a member of the church? Can we get one member of the church? Who would like to be? Come quickly. Come quickly, Jesse. You're wasting time, man. Come on. Sit there. Well, what's mission conference? What is it? What is mission conference all about? It's simply this. Dr. Scotty Drake had a vision to reach the lost for Jesus. Simple act. To get a gospel. And he could tell his story in a few countries, Mexico and maybe one other country. Now he's in all these countries, traveling. Not for his own, but to get a gospel. That's a vision. He cannot do it alone. He needs the local pastor. Now this is the local pastor here. So he had to share this vision with Dr. Mickey. Now Dr. Mickey cannot do it alone. Dr. Mickey has to share the vision with a church member. Because we're in this together. So what is this? Let me show you what it is.
Yeah, that's really.
Yeah.
You're in this too, Dr. Carter.
Hallelujah.
This is Mission Conference. See that? Start over there, come to the local pastor, the church member, and the national. And what did Nehemiah say? He said, let us rise up and build. And then he said, let us strengthen our hands together for this good work. And because our hands are strengthened, the enemy will try to break it. They have tried in the past. Dr. Drake can tell you that. The enemy will try to break it and move it around. But our hands are strengthened together for this good work. And because our hands are strengthened together for this good work, the enemy saw it and they said, wow, this work is of God.
Amen.
And so let us stand up. And here we are in front of this church. We are joined together in chains. We are joined together with our hand.
Amen.
We have decided that we are going to rise up and build.
Amen.
We are going to strengthen our hand together. And we need you.
Amen.
And we need you.
Yeah.
And we need you. And we need you.
Yes.
And we need you.
Amen.
And we need you, those in the balcony over there. We have a goal. We can do it.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you. Thank you and God bless you. Thank you, Doctor. Scott, you are locked in, man. Can't get loose.
Let's chain him to the post over here. How about that?
That's tremendous, man. That's tremendous. That is some powerful biblical preaching, making the point. And that last illustration is so true. Scotty can't do it by himself. Pastor can't. We got to have help. Amen. And in Christ, we are linked together. We're linked together in His cause. Amen. And what's happening here is pretty much the starting point as to what's going to happen over there, over on the mission field. And I wish you could, and I haven't been over to Suriname, but I've heard the others that have been over there. And it's tremendous, the work that God is doing. And the way He's opened up fields that not so awful long ago was considered closed. And yet God has moved and went through it and got it done. And these men that are pastoring and starting and building churches over there, like Brother Gaines, God's got a record of all that. When we give here in a mission conference, it's not just mission conference time, it's world outreach time is what it really is. And there's folks today, because if they've got some money, they invest it, they don't get paid much interest on it. Not the day and time we're in right now. But I can tell you where you can get great interest on it. Amen. Heavenly interest, amen. And I've seen this as a pastor through the years. Brother Cham, you pastored so many years, you know the truth of it. I've seen folks that could give a tithe and give to missions off of $100 a week, some of them off of $200. But when they got real big money, they all of a sudden couldn't take a tenth of that. Or isn't that amazing how people are? So I said, well, I got to invest that. Well, fine. Have you thought about investing in heaven? Investing in souls. And that's what Mission Conference is about, reaching the souls. Every now and then, I've been here long enough, every now and then I get a nice note or letter from somebody that I never suspected got reached through our ministry. And it touches my heart. But I think about what it's going to be when I have the capacity to hear about and know about all of them around the world that's going to be able to share that with me in glory. Amen. And I encourage you. I encourage you, get on this thing of giving to missions. I've told it so much, almost every mission conference probably. But I got so impressed years ago when I read the story of some church folks that asked an artist to paint a picture of a dying church. And he did. He brought the picture. And they said, you misunderstood. This is a well-painted building. The parking lot is manicured. Everything looks nice. We told you to paint a picture of a dying church. He said, you didn't look close enough. He said, look right here at the front door where it says mission box. There's a spider web growing across the opening. He said, that's a dying church. The truth is, if we don't outreach, if we don't send, we'll die too. There's plenty of them that are become whited sepulchers as far as having any life to get the gospel around the world. I don't want that to happen to us. I believe from our very beginning here that God has blessed us because of our outreach and our giving. So I challenge you, let's do it. If you didn't turn in a card tonight, and after hearing that preaching tonight, you say, I'm going to turn one in Sunday. We'll do that. Yes. Do that. Yes. We'll have cards continually coming on in. It's hard to just really set a goal, but we're going to try to do that tonight again. And that's what the big need is, folks. If you're here and you're unsaved tonight, this is Mission Conference. It's a little different. We normally give an invitation for you to come and receive Christ. Tonight, I'm going to give an invitation this way. I'm going to ask our folks to pray, whether they stay in their seat or come to the altar, to pray for reaching the goal we've got and doing it again. Amen. And that's what the invitation is going to be tonight. If you're here and you're unsaved, if you'll come to me, or one of these men around the front here, we'll take the Bible. We'll show you how you can be saved and how you know can know it. It's not a hope-so, maybe-so. It's a no-so salvation. Amen. In Christ. And I thank God for that. But I want us to pray tonight because we need a miracle, number one, to meet the goal here by watching our service. Yes. And then whatever politics is for this coming year, and it don't look good. It looks bad. But